Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryankaravavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shripasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay. So, Tattva Sutras, Tattva Prakarana, the truth. Page 124. In Srimad Bhagavatam 2235, Srila Sukadeva Goswami explains, right? This is the from Sutra 2, because he is limitless, he has all powers, even though he remains beyond the touch of the modes of material nature. The personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is in every living being alone with the individual soul. And this fact is perceived and hypothesized in our acts of seeing and taking help from the intelligence. Okay. Yeah, because we take help from the intelligence. That intelligence is the closest thing to the super soul. Right? So he gives you that, whether you take it or not, because you have to understand is that the intelligence is not what decides. The intelligence presents, you know, good, good options, yes. And the mind has to take it. So the problem is the mind, because of the Pramitri Chaitanya, then that aspect is, it's going to decide based on our previous samskars. Right? So unless we have a samskar that we're willing to move beyond that, we're willing to move, you know, into a more, with faith, and we know that if we do all this, then it will be good. Then we're using intelligence. That's buddhi yoga. That's why when the intelligence controls the mind, then things go very well, right? Because we've decided that, no, I'm going to do what's intelligent rather than what I feel like, right? And so then by doing what is intelligent, then now you're acting, you know, especially if that intelligence then is mati, is based on shastra. If it's not based on that, then it'll be based on the modes. And then it will be the intelligence for whatever modes you're in, for what you will do to get what you want. Right? So someone's pious, what they'll do is a pious activity to get what they want. Someone's impious, they'll do an impious activity to get what they want. But they'll use intelligence to find out what's the most pious or the most impious way to get it. Right? So when the devotee, then they control, so then it's guided by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, by Shabda. Then the intelligence means that your decisions then will be very proper. The difficulty comes up is when we don't use this mati, we don't use this quality of basing things on shastra, and we simply use other emotions, right? So then it becomes speculative. And then it's simply based on our samskars, and our samskars are from the modes. You know, if we're on the platform of spontaneous devotional service, then fine. But if we're not, we're with invitee, then what we're doing is regulating, controlling. So then we're not practicing buddhi yoga. You know, it'll be buddhi yoga that's very much mixed with karma jnana, depending upon our particular conditioning. So we want to be able to avoid that. So that becomes a difficulty, especially in the contemporary society, when more and more it's not about intelligence or things being logical, it's more about what I feel like. And at the same time, is when we say stuff, oh, that's not logical, that's not intelligent, that's not scientific, even though their whole lifestyle is going more and more upon the individual, what they feel like, how did they feel. It means like, okay, this was right or wrong, but how did you feel? You know? You know, that they're caring for the individual is then caring for this sinful side, the attachment, the envy side, rather than how did you feel in connection with your duty. It means, of course, it's cold out, you know, you don't want to take a bath, but at the same time, is you do that because that's the duty, and that body is healthy by being cleansed and all these things. Purifies the consciousness, everything. And so we do that. But otherwise, you say, well, how did you feel? Oh, no, you know, it's so cold, and I just don't feel like it. Why are they forcing me? And just because they're the authorities, why they are saying, and that, you know, what about me? This is not being worried about the individual. Because then you're caring about a conditioning, and that conditioning is not the living entity. And that conditioning is coming from Krishna, and so there's 8,400,000 forms of this. You know, with its variations within. And so we're not actually dealing on a spiritual platform. But Maya is so clever. The first element is covering. Then you don't see how that one is now acting on pranamoy. And even that is a very speculative pranamoy. And it's based on, you know, whatever's the contemporary first world Western way of thinking. That's rooted back before. Why would we take first world opinion? Why not the Asian opinion or the African opinion? Or the Middle East opinion or the Russian opinion? No, it has to be first world. That's the universal one. And who said that? White Christians. That they're superior to all others. And so at the same time, we're preaching a liberal thing. But the actual, in the samskar, in the Pramiti Chaitanya, the basis is that, you know, the modern Western first world is superior to all other places in the world. Right? At the same time, we want democracy, which means that you have, what do you call it? It's about what all the people think. But the point is that first world, if you put it all together, I don't even know if it'll reach a billion. You know what I'm saying? I don't know that it'll reach a billion. If you take, you know, Europe, Eastern Europe, you're stretching it. But if you take America, okay, throw in Canada, you know, why not, you know, like that. And then, you know, England, then, you know, Italy, you know, how you say, France, Germany, like that, you know. That would be your main thing that you'd want to throw in. I mean, if you want, you can throw in Spain and Portugal, like that, whether they would consider that. You probably wouldn't go farther than that. You know, because others will tend to have a little bit more old world values. And so that's not even, you know, an eighth of the planet. But then they're lead, so then that's an oligarchy. So then if it's an oligarchy, then why are we talking equality and democracy? You know what I'm saying? So you have these very big, you know, just psychological flaws in the consciousness. So that's why then it has to be done by intelligence. And that intelligence, you can say, well, I'm using my intelligence, but is it based on Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra? And if it's not, because the more as we go away from Prabhupada's books into what the Karmis say, they tell what to do. They say what's the most practical. They, the corporate world, and all these gurus, you know, self-help gurus, is more than Prabhupada. Even though the Shastras, whatever they're saying, there's more in the Shastra. You know what I'm saying? Even if you want to do that, then you want to take these things, then you got to go to practice. You got to go about corporate. Corporate is so low end because it's just about profit. You know, at the same time, as we're supposed to, oh, it's not about, you know, it's the selflessness and that. Corporate is not in any way selfless. Right? Governments, they can act on the selfless platform. Because any money that's made, it's not for them. It's for running the government. But corporate, it's about, it's their money. If they want to give someone charity, nice, that's a good thing. But it's not, there's in no way, shape, or form that it's selfless. An individual might be, like the Vaishnavas, they may work and make it selfless. But the whole point is the goal is profit. That's the way it is. That's why it's called corporate. You know? Does that make sense? You know. Yeah.
But Maharaj, you know, when there is no good samskara at the beginning. You know,
right.
You know, and like in the Western world, you know, this means it's a big challenge to accept that we are our intelligence is not very intelligent.
Yes. Yes, but then that means it's false ego, it's false identity, it's upadhi. Yeah. So that's the point we're making here is that the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is in every living being alone with the individual soul. And this fact is perceived and hypothesized in our acts of seeing and taking help from the intelligence. So when we see by intelligence, we take help of the intelligence in making our decision. And that intelligence is then controlled by basing it on Shastra, right? It's Mati, you know, which we saw in Nectar Devotion. It's one of the centuries, no?
Yes, ma'am.
Mati. It's one of the 33 centuries, is that you have the attitude of doing things according to Shastra. So when everything's connected to Krishna, it'll be one of the things that they do.
Yes.
But if we're sadhakas, then unless we do it on Shastra, we can't in any way guarantee that it has anything to do with Krishna.
Yes. Yes.
You know? So therefore, for us, then doing according to Shastra, that's a guru, sadhu, and Shastra, someone who sees like this, then means, in other words, you follow the order of guru to please Krishna. And you have faith that Krishna will take care, faith that Guru will give, that's what he'll give, then that's everything will be revealed. But if we take help from the outside, then we will see is that this will be a big difficulty. So we won't be able to make proper decisions because, like you said, we're working on our conditioning. But that's the first thing we have to do. We're not the body, we're not the conditioning. So then that means we don't have to act according to that. We don't have to value according to that. You know? And if you can say, oh, but we have to be practical, it's like nowhere else in the world are they, you know, life is going on. You know, it's kind of like life is what's going on, you know, in the first, that's it. What about the rest of the world? Right? You know, it's like, generally speaking, it's like, Europe doesn't have much resources, you know, bless their souls, but except for trees and wild boars, there's not a whole lot going on in Europe. It's not known for natural resources, right? And so, therefore, they're kind of limited in what they can do. It means the cottage industries and that, you know, they can grow stuff. They can farm, grow stuff, and so with cotton, linen, and all these things, and you know, so they can then make stuff, and then amongst themselves and all that. But any big input of money, then that came from going abroad, and wherever they went, those cultures were way more wealthy than the European countries, you know. And so, if the idea is to become rich, okay, you can go there and steal all their stuff, but, you know, after some time, that kind of like, there's so many people and that, it gets a little thin, right? Your investment becomes not as, it doesn't have the same clout as it did before. So then, now what do? You know? Because you see, are they making everything? Like, Europe, they make everything in Europe? No, it's all made in somewhere else. Same with America. You know, I look at China. Everything's made in China, and so they have more money than anybody right now. So, I mean, that's a smart way to do things. You know, you can say, oh, but it's complicated and this and that. We make it complicated. But the point is that all these cultures, the Oriental culture, the Indian culture, even the, you know, aspects of the African culture, the South American culture, they all had way more wealth. Way more. I mean, are they going to go and deal in a place that has no wealth? No. They go to those places that have wealth and then bring that back to the home country. And so the point that we're making here is that these other cultures, by following a more kind of traditional value system, more religious system, then they have more wealth than the Europeans did in their system. Right? So why would we ever think that they have the answers to everything? That's the best. Why that would be the conclusion? You know? So one thing is that, yeah, they had so much on this and that, but where did they, you know, it's like if you want to do business, you do it by investment. Where did the investment come from? right? It didn't come locally. England got it locally? No, they went out and took from everywhere else in the world. You know, so these main countries, they went out and took from everywhere else. They managed it nicely. They still have it. They didn't manage it nicely. They don't have as much. You know, so that, you know, they do good investment. That's great. But that's the whole thing, is that there's just this already conditioning that what we're saying is we're dealing on this modern, oh, you know, we're being very accommodating, very liberal in that, as long as it's according to, we accommodate everybody as long as they agree with what we think. Like that. Everybody. We don't matter what your background, as long as you agree with what we think. But if you think different from what we're thinking, even if you're local, we don't like it. And so it's already based on the premise that somehow or another the first world, these main conquistador countries, they're the superior culture. And so that's the way it works. And so that's a problem. And so then you have to use the intelligence. And that intelligence then is, how do we know what's intelligent? That's by following Shastra. So we analyze things according to Shastra, and then we choose based on Shastra. Because as our conditioning, we wouldn't know what to pick. We don't know Krishna. We wouldn't know what's good for Krishna. So therefore, without Shastra, without the direction of the Parampara, we wouldn't know. You know, we don't even know we're not the bodies. Like that. So this all comes from there. Therefore, then you have to use the intelligence based on Scripture. So it's a great disservice, a great fallacy to shift it from it's about Shastra and that's what's correct into whatever is going on in the internet, that's where we'll find truth. It's a great disservice. Right? You're not benefiting anybody by taking Google Guru as the authority. You know, and so that whatever comes up, the news, because the news people, they're just trying to make money, and you do things that are topical. It's not about, they always say we want the truth, but what they want is, if you tell them a truth that's not going to make the news, they're not interested. They want facts that will make news. Right? So it's not about truth, it's selective truth. Right? But it's presented, no, we're just presenting the truth for everyone's benefit. No. Are they going to do that? If it is, why aren't all these journalists doing free work? That there's a journal or there's a magazine that's the most respected in the world because it's a non-profit, no one makes any money off of it, all the journalists and editors, no one's being paid. It's all completely pro bono. It's all free. And so they just bring the news. And it doesn't matter if people like it or not. They're not trying to please anybody by, dealing nicely and all that. You know, there's no diplomacy. There's no political correctness. They're just saying it as it is. Where is that? Where is that magazine? Or where is that? And if it is there, who's ever heard of it? Right? And so that's the difficulty, is that it's not. So we have to understand this. Everybody on there, they're all doing, there to make money. That's what they're there for. So it is, again, it's corporate. But we can say, oh, so then we should be corporate to keep up. No, you don't control corporate through corporate unless you're the biggest corporation around. You control that by working on the level, of at least on government level. But then better, that's on the brahminical level. You know, because by Shastra and by Guru, that we know what's correct. That we can guide, that we can give direction. Because the corporate guy knows how to make money, but he doesn't know what to do with his life. He's still miserable. So that's the difficulty. So here is that we have to take help from the intelligence. So that means then it must be based on Guru Sadhu Shastra and Shabda. That's where we start, you know, since we're talking in Tattva Prakarana. You have to start there in Shastra. Because otherwise, how do we know who Krishna is? But without Shastra, we don't know these three features of Krishna as the absolute truth, as the controller of all his energies, the creator, maintainer, and destroyer, and that he's a person endowed with all opulences that he interacts with his devotees and on the platform of prema. How else will we know these three? I mean, that he's the absolute, okay, that's there, but how is he the absolute? We'll take absolute meaning impersonal, not absolute that he's a person. You know, and he controls everything. We'll take it up to the point that we want. If we're more surrendered, we don't mind there's more control. We're less surrendered, then it's yes, he's controlled the place, given it to us, and now we do what we think is best. And so we use our intelligence, you know, to see how to make the best profit and everything like that, and try to, you know, be as fair as possible, you know, so that the maximum number of people can get benefit from it. And then God will be happy. Because it's our place and we're running it. He's given us responsibility. In other words, they deify, and so he doesn't actually run the place. But the laws of nature and that, who's running that? They don't connect that to God. So then that becomes a problem. So they're not actual scientists, they're not actual intellectuals, they're just posing themselves. They're not even really that much religious. At least they're a little favorable. As long as you agree with them. And so then it becomes a big problem.
There is no tradition. In the country, there is not so much tradition.
There's no tradition. Whatever is there, they're working very hard to destroy.
So when there is no tradition, it means there are more tendency to strong materialism.
Yes. Yeah, because where does tradition come from? I mean, you have two aspects, but the main point is, what is tradition? Tradition is what works.
Yes.
It's being taken that, no, tradition is just this old, you know, cumbersome thing that just gets in the way. But it's just like this. Let us say I go to work, and at lunchtime I go out to a particular, you know, I make the rounds of different places in the locale where to eat lunch, and then go back to work. Then out of that, I find two or three that are quite good, decent. You know, the food's good, the price is good, the atmosphere's all right. You know, I don't get sick. You know, stuff like that. You know, like that. So then out of the 20 that are around there, I only go to two or three. You know? And even people pride themselves. Yeah, it's our tradition. You know, we do this. You know? Because it works. Like that. Anything that anybody does is because it works. Now this person has analyzed it, and therefore he knows. But now let's say other family members, they don't know. So they think, oh, why you're restricting us to these two or three places? You know, there's 20 places here. You know, why can't we go out and explore? We're free. You know, why are you trying to control us? Go ahead. Then, and what's the conclusion? Now, because they've started it because of false ego, even if they're wrong, there's a good chance they won't admit it. You know? And so they'll end up with an inferior result just because of their false ego. And just because so-called freedom. The whole point is instead of wasting your time going around to all these 20 places, you just go to these two or three and save your time. You know where to go, you just go there and that. You don't waste your money, you don't waste your time. You know, and so that's what tradition. That's just on just the mechanical side. But now, if you look at it, most traditions, that a lot of these things that you know. So, a tradition also is for how to regulate the lifestyle. Because if you regulate, then you can uplift. And when you uplift, then you can come closer to Krishna. Right. So, if you're in the process of upliftment, then you come across Krishna. Then that's the ultimate, and you're happy about that. So then we want to get rid of anything that restrains us. So that all the fight in the modern, the so-called liberals, is to break down anything that is authority, anything except themselves, sorry. Any authority that restricts their lifestyle, however they feel they should be able to do. And so then, you know, this whole thing of being able to do that, and then they just police that everyone's doing that. Now people can do bad things, But now what are they going to do? He felt like it. You know? I felt like, you know, it just seemed the thing to do. It just felt so natural, you know. I was in Texas. I had a chainsaw, you know, and I just went out and, you know, just shared my chainsaw with, you know, everybody that, you know, I could come in contact with. You know? Otherwise known as the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but it's what he felt like, you know. So come on, there was something he felt better, you know. When he was young, people didn't take care, and so he has this anger towards people, and this way now he actually feels better about himself. He's taking control of his own life. Isn't this a good thing? You know, so it's not so bad. You know, okay, yeah, and okay. You know, well, you know, he'd be a little bit away, see a psychologist, to, you know, kind of get things more balanced and all that. Because, you know, the other people don't, we can't tell if they liked it or not because they're all dead. But, you know, there might be the possibility. It means at least the family members and the rest of society is up in arms about it. But, you know, hey, you know. So that's the direction we go. It's going on today. You know? So that's the whole difficulty, is that the human life means there's control. Animal means you do whatever you feel like. But by the laws of nature, their field of what they only feel like is restricted. Yes. You know, they only want to be in the water, they only want to be in the tree, they only want to fly around. Yes. They only want to, you know, it's just like, jackals will eat anything they can get their hands on. You know, lions and that, unless they catch the animal themselves, they won't eat it. You know, there's a dead animal, they won't eat it. They catch it themselves. You know, and for jackals and hyenas, they couldn't care less if someone else catches it, even better. You know, they don't have any that foolish self-pride and dignity and all that. They're practical people, you know, like that.
And they keep harassing the lion or tiger when they're eating, like.
Yeah, they just come in and harass. They won't even just let them eat and go away, and then they can eat. No, they just have to be there harassing constantly. Really, really low class. Really low class. Like that. You know, they take full advantage of everyone else. You know, if they can catch the tiger and eat him, they'll do that. They have no culture. So that's the difficulty, is that, you know, we're saying all these things, but these things are already there in the 8,400,000 species. So human is very specific. And you want to be human that's civilized, that's more specific. You want to be civilized, and that you're uplifting to the highest platform, to bhakti. That's very, very rare. And then we're saying, oh, we should fit in with everybody else. So which everybody else? The dogs, the cats, the pigs, the hyenas? Which one? So that's the whole thing. Unless it's based on Shastra, it will have no benefit. And if in Shastra it's not based on pleasing Krishna, it also is a waste of time. So if Shastra not connected to Krishna is a waste of time, anything that's not Shastra already is a waste of time. You say, oh, but we're using for Krishna Yukta Vairagya Prabhu. Okay, but great, Yukta Vairagya. Why is it Yukta Vairagya? Right? How is it Yukta? I mean, why would that be chosen? Because that's your conditioning. That's what you're attached to. Fine. You're connecting it to Krishna. Nice. But are you connecting to Krishna for his pleasure or just for your own? Because if you're doing it for Krishna, then there's still the prestige that you did it.
Yes.
Is it, and how pure is it? So can we compare pure devotional service, you know, which is Yukta Vairagya? Because pure devotional service is active Yukta Vairagya. My body, mind, words, everything's engaged in Krishna's service. That's Yukta Vairagya. This other one is mixed devotional service. And so, yeah, you're trying to connect it to Krishna, but the problem is because it's mixed, it also comes with all the baggage. So you can't compare the two. You can't say, oh, we're doing, you know, Yukta Vairagya, you're doing all sadhana. That's not Yukta Vairagya. It's kind of like, do we even know the philosophy here? Do we know what we're talking about? Right? The soul is what you are. Anything other than you, the soul, then that's what you use in Krishna's service. That means the body, the mind, the intelligence, the senses, that's Yukta Vairagya. And you extend it more, that means whatever's around you. But why is it that it's only if it's you know, first world stuff, then it's Yukta Vairagya. If I'm using third world stuff, that's not Yukta Vairagya. That's lame. So we see is we're dealing with some very serious, deep social biases here that people don't even see. You know, they already take it that, you know, the West is automatically better than India. No, better than the Orient, better than anywhere else. So therefore, whatever we do, that's the universal thing. You know, we're doing something that everybody can do, you know. But what is it that they're doing that everybody can do? Sense gratification. False ego. Trying to lord it over material nature. Every living entity wants to do that. Others are at least willing to control themselves a little in that. And these aren't.
But we can say this is the basis of the Western culture.
It's the basis of the Western culture. So that's why we can't have attachment to it. We work, if that's where you are, you work within that, you engage in Krishna service, fine. But you can't take the upadis, the identities, and that attitude. It will never produce pure devotional service. It will never make you happy, never make anybody else happy. And then the focus gets shifted. We're seeing in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the pastimes of the Gambhira, how much cleanliness is important for Krishna consciousness. How many temples can you go to or devotees' houses that are actually clean? Like before, they were like spotless. I mean, literally, impressively. Every karmi noticed it. Everybody who came to the temple, you know, who wasn't like, you know, on drugs or something, but more, you know, just more general people, they would know how clean it is. They would always comment. I don't think anybody's heard that comment for like 30 years. Before it was like you come into the temple, wow. You know, and at least, you know, the temple we were in, it was in the worst neighborhood in the town because devotees, you know, they don't have much money, so they hire a place like that. And so then great. And so that place being so clean, they're so impressed. These guys, if you're clean, then they take it. If you go to a high-class establishment, you go to, let's say, a library, or you go to a museum, or you go to any place, you know, let's say a conference hall, it's cleanliness and everything's perfect. That's the first sign that you know this place is professional. But we somehow know to think sitting around a table and talking whatever's the latest, you know, latest accepted kind of self-help, you know, directions and all that, then, but at the same time, the place is a mess. Mm-hmm. So then, how is that proper? How is that progressive? Get everybody cleaning. You'll see that cleans the heart. Half of your management problems will go away. Literally. Management problems come up because hearts are impure. Right? At least, okay, you understand the karmis, you're impure, so you know you're going to have a problem there, but why should there be inside? Because of, you know, the impure. The focus is on impurities, you know, cultivating them, rather than getting rid of them. So cleaning is such an important thing. But cleaning is considered, you know, low class. Why? Because first world, we don't clean. We send all our garbage to other countries. Let them deal with it.
We create perfume.
Yes. And so we have perfume, yes.
Soap.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember once Bhavananda was just saying, he couldn't believe it because he was, you know, you read about the refinement and all that of Louis XIV and Versailles and all that. But, and you know, how they have all these, you know, especially from India, they would get all these, you know, scents and everything and around. You know, they all come from somewhere else and not from local. You know, or from the Middle East or other places like that. They get all these far-out scents, you know, and perfumes and like that. But he was so surprised when it just didn't make sense to him that there are no bathrooms in Versailles. There's, I think, 1,000 rooms, no bathrooms like that. And the other thing was is basically they never took baths. You know, it's, I think one noble person from, I can't remember from where, they're making the comment that you look at Louis, no one looks as good as him. And he changes clothes, I think, 2 or 3 times a day. He looks fabulous. But, he said, he smells like an animal. It smells like an animal. Because they never bathe. They just put perfume. You know, when perfume kind of gets old, it starts to smell musky, so you have to put more perfume. So he was just thinking, how is it that they're so sophisticated and so artistic and so refined, but they're just so dirty? He just couldn't relate. You know, how is this possible? But it's possible. So that's the difficulty, is that all these things that aren't in line with what we're used to, oh, why are we controlled by these things? But if let's say you walk down the street and you just toss some garbage. Oh, how can you do that and this and that? Wait, it's the street here. What's the problem? No, but you're littering this and that. But that's your rule, you know? You know, I wash my backside with water. You use toilet paper, you know? You know, so that's the thing. It's just where's to be clean and what's not, that's a different thing. You know, so, of course, if you don't throw that, if you do both, that's the best. But you'll see is that their own rules are very strict about, not lenient at all on. But others' rules, oh, they're useless. So as a starting point of a mentality, very, very unfortunate. That's why then you take it up. Take what Guru Sadhana Shastra says, and that. Then you use your intelligence to contemplate and attain what it is to be attained. If you want people to think you're more sophisticated, how are you sophisticated by the Vedic values? Because sophistications, Krishna's the eternal thing. Krishna's the universal thing. So the metaphysical, what's in the primary creation, that's what's universal. Everybody accepts that. So if you're clean, well-dressed, everybody on the planet will consider you're more cultured. Everyone will respect you, even the rogues, rascals, like that. Because even you see, is let us say, you know, you're just the low-level, you know, guy that goes out and, you know, how you say, rolls, you know, how you say, knocks over the old ladies in the street to take their money or something, or their groceries, like that. But as you move up the food chain, you know, in the criminal world, at the top, they all wear best suits, best this, and everything like that. You know? So, does that make sense? Yeah, so even they understand, and then they're respected more. You know, they can deal with the politicians, they can deal with the police, they can deal with everybody else, and, you know. And when they get up to that level, many times they're respected because just how they deal and everything is just so much more refined, even though everyone knows they're criminals. It's just they haven't caught them yet, but they all know they're criminals. You know? So that's the whole point. It's just that cleanliness. These things are respected. These are universal principles. That's what we take. Because these others, we may take this and that from these different places, but they're details. The person writing the book has no idea what the principle is. And if we read it, we don't know. We only get principles from the Veda. And principle means how it connects to Krishna. That's the eternal thing. Is that? Yeah. In Srimad Bhagavatam 4:27, it is also said, the individual soul is one, pure, non-material, and self-effulgent. He is a reservoir of all good qualities, and he is all-pervading. He is without material covering, and he is the witness of all activities. He is completely distinguished from other living entities, and he is transcendental to all embodied souls. Right, so the super soul there is—he's the individual soul, you know, the one person, and then he's with everybody else. He's non-material, he's self-effulgent, and so everything's coming from him. He's the reservoir of all good qualities, not anyone else. So if we want good qualities, why don't we turn to Krishna? Why we would turn to the materialist? Right? Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. The Paramatma is always distinguished from the embodied soul, as well as this material world. Therefore, he has been described as Para. That Para, or Supreme Personality of Godhead, is Eka, meaning one. The Lord is one, whereas the conditioned souls embodied within the material world exist in many varieties of forms. Right? But he is one. He always comes in his transcendental form. He may take different manifestations of this form, you know, unique for his pastimes, but he's still the same one personality. Like you see is that, like in South India, you have the deity of Nrisingadev, right? As the Mula Vigraha, the main Vigraha. Then he has his Utsav Murti, you know, who does the bath, goes to bed, you know, any festivals and that. Look at him, he's the regular four-armed Vishnu deity. Like that. Because it's that he takes that form like that for his pastimes. Though that aspect is eternal, this is eternal. So it's not that he can't do, but we have one form and we're stuck. You know, of course, next life we can get a new one, but this life. There are demigods, human beings, animals, trees, birds, bees, and so forth. These are all the varieties, right? Thus, the living entities are not eka, but many. As confirmed in the Vedas, nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam, Katupanishad 2.2.13. The living entities, who are many, and who are entangled in this material world, are not pure. However, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pure and detached. Due to being covered by the material body, the living entities are not self-effulgent. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma, is self-effulgent. The living entities, being contaminated by the modes of material nature, are called saguna, whereas Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is called nirguna, right? Because he has no material qualities. But the soul, even though he's pure, he takes on these qualities by identity. So that's the problem. So by adding to that means we're trying to remove the upadis, try to add on these all these other upadis, new upadis, you know, contemporarily valued upadis. It's not going to do us any good. He's not under the influence of the material modes. The living entities. The living entities, being encaged in material qualities, are gunashrita, whereas the Supreme Personality of Godhead is gunashraya. Right? So they've taken shelter of the modes, while the modes take shelter of Krishna. He's the source of them. He's the power behind them, though he is beyond them and not controlled by them. Conditioned soul's vision is covered by material contamination. Therefore, he cannot see the cause of his actions, and he cannot see his past lives. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, not being covered by a material body, is the witness of all the activities of the living entity. But both of them, the living entity and the Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or Atma, or spirit, they are one in quality, yet they are different in so many ways. Especially in regard to the six opulences the Supreme Personality of Godhead has in full, right? We're just trying to get a little bit of any one of them, you know. Full knowledge means that the Jiva Atma, the living entity, must know both his position and the Supreme's position. That is full knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.27 purport. So that's full knowledge. It means as much as we can know. But the point is, since it brings us to the platform of devotional service to Krishna, it's perfect, it's complete. So that's why we'll call it full. Yeah, it's just like, let's say we connect to the electricity. You know, and so whatever it is, our appliance or that works. And we know that who we are, what the electricity is, what the machine we're working with, and how to connect it. So we understand the principle of electricity. Do we understand how broad it is, how it's working in everywhere and doing everything? We know that it does do that, but the detail of it, we have no idea. But it doesn't matter. It's enough for us to connect. So full knowledge for us means we understand our relationship with the Lord, the creation with the Lord. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11.7.23, it is also said, although I, the Supreme Lord, can never be captured by ordinary sense perception, those situated in human life may use their intelligence and other faculties of perception to directly search for me through apparent and indirectly ascertained symptoms. Right? So that's like from the Chatur Shloki, is that though that he's beyond all these things, then with the intelligence and other facilities of perception, then we can directly and indirectly look for the Lord. That's the fourth shloka of the Gita. But his point is, you're looking for the Lord. How does the Lord function this? How is this the Lord? How is it to serve the Lord? And then that way. In the Narada Pancharatra, it is said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the world of matter, who is the supreme object of worship, whose desires are all fulfilled and whom all living entities yearn to obtain, is described in the Pancharatras. Here someone may protest. You consider the Supreme both beyond the modes of material nature and the master of all potencies. How is it possible to describe these two mutually contradictory natures to the Lord? Right? Because saying he's beyond the modes, but he controls them. Because you think if he's beyond them, then how would he control? Because to control, you have to be in contact with. But the point is he's contact with through his internal potency. He's controlling that, that's controlling the external. And just because you control doesn't mean you're controlled by it. Because we as servants, we're controlled by it. Right? Whatever we control, we're serving that thing. Just like when we say someone, let's say they have a pet. Right? Now, is it not a common thing that we say they own the pet? You know, so basically it's just a form of slavery, right? You know? So, you know, if we want to put it into modern terms and all that. So, the point is they own the pet. But now, how much of their life is spent serving that pet? They have to feed him. They have to take him out, you know, like that. You know, they have to take him to the vet. They got to do all these things. Just like the parents, they're the controllers of the children, but all their whole time is spent serving them. You know, proper government, they are in charge of all the people, but they're controlled by the needs of the people, taking care of that. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole difficulty is that, so they're looking at it from that point because we're servants, but God's not servant. He's the enjoyer, he's the master. So even he is dealing with them, he's not controlled by them. So he says, yeah.
No, he said, Jiva has no internal energy. Jiva.
No, it's separate. It means they have some energy because they are energy, so there's something there, but it's very limited. And we have to remember, our the potency that fits in 1/10,000th the tip of the hair, that's what we are. But the cosmos is unlimited. It's getting bigger at every moment. We're staying the same size at every moment. We don't get bigger.
But it is amazing to remember that.
Yes. We tend to not want to remember that. You know, we have other ideas. You know, oh, we have so many more important things to remember. Why do we have to remember this? That I'm infinitesimal and I'm not the Lord of all I survey.
Yes, it is a false ego when we think we are more than 1/10,000.
Yes, that was. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's point. It's an amazing point how something so small can think that they're so great. You know, it's the infinite, you can't, so small you can't even see them, but they think that they're the unlimited God. He says that this is really impressive. You know, an impressive feat of illusion. Okay. Narada Pancharatra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is beyond... Oh, no, we already read that. Okay, so then that's the next page. In the following words, the author of the sutras refutes this protest. Sutra 3. No one should be surprised that the Supreme possesses mutually contradictory natures. Mm-hmm. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Footnote.
Six. Oh, there is. Yes, 6. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates on the sutra. You didn't want to put it into as a, also a commentary?
Because as the commentary is given, that's why I just...
as an udriti?
Yeah, we can put out the udriti.
Because it deserves more than just a...
I was thinking it's just on the sutra, then maybe we should have put in the dhruti.
Yeah, but you just have to see where it fits. It goes at the end, at the beginning, you know, or maybe it fits, you know, partway through. Bhaktivinoda, of course, commentary, and then Jiva Goswami's commentary fits in there someplace. Or
because the idea of putting this is the sutras, just as the sutras should be helping us to remember the whole sandarbha itself. So that's why after immediately the sutra, then I'm giving...
Yeah, but no, but it's only after, but still it's a commentary. Yeah. And then this is a commentary, so it's the same. So, point is once you know and you've studied, then the sutra has the meaning. But until you've studied, you don't know the sutras. Just like you have the sutras, but without the commentary, you can't understand them. Then, after that, then you can read just the sutras and remember and contemplate. You know, it's just like you have the Arthashastra, right? And having studied the Arthashastra, understand now the Arthasutras, then you can remember that and contemplate and use it practically. Does that make sense? Yeah. So at first you have to study it with everything. Then afterwards, then someone can just sit down with the 50 sutras and by that they can remember everything. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That the Supreme Personality of Godhead possesses mutually contradictory natures should not be a source of wonder. In the Svetasvatara Upanishad 3.19 it is said, although the Supreme Lord is described as having no hands or legs, he nonetheless accepts all sacrificial offerings and moves very quickly. He has no material eyes, yet he sees everything. He has no material ears, yet he hears everything. In Bhagavad Gita 4.39.40, the Lord declares, a faithful man who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses is eligible to achieve such knowledge. And having achieved it, he quickly attains the supreme spiritual peace. Right, so a faithful person then can attain peace. Right, it's not by some mechanical process, because peace is an experience. So that has to come from another aspect within the experience. You know, in other words, it's a feeling. So that has to also come from those. Just like we were saying, you want to control the mind, then you have to control it by the shastra and the intelligence, like that. But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor the next. Because if you doubt, you can never get anything done. Because you can doubt everything. Okay, so you do this and that'll work. You know, okay, how do I get to this place? Oh, you go up to here, you know, and you turn right, and then after three blocks, you turn left, and it's there on the right side. You know, but if they don't have faith, they're faithless, then, you know, okay, then they might even go the opposite direction or to ask someone else and this and that. And so many people are saying it, maybe it's a conspiracy, you know, because they themselves are so important that the whole world would be out to get them. And so that's why they've all conspired together to tell them the wrong directions, you know, whatever it is. So you can't be happy. You know, someone's there as your friend, you doubt if they're actually your friend. You know, you have food, whether it's actually good for you, because, you know, every day something comes up that's like that. I saw this one little clip where someone was it was done as a commentary on the foolishness of, you know, how these modern fads work and stuff like that. So then they went through everything that's, like, say, for the last so many years has been, you know, the superfood, the best thing for you, this and that, and so many things, and you gotta eat this and everything like that. Then they go through and they went through this and that, like this and that, doing that, and then what happened? They found cancer. So then they only this and oh, but then this was the next one. They just keep going on. And one of them, I think, was like quinoa. He said they couldn't even pronounce it. By the time they could pronounce it, by that time it's already gone, you know, and so like that. And they said the only thing that no one's criticized so far is broccoli, like that. So the difficulty comes up is that all these things are fads, because if it is, like let us say, you know, a particular item. Now, let's say some place they take that, okay? Let's say we go to, there's some out-of-the-way place. Like they found some place, I can't remember where it is. It's some place like, I don't know, like, you know, the kind of the area where Iran, Iraq, maybe it's whatever it is, Turkestan or some area, a little up there. There's some little district that all the people in there, nobody ever gets cancer. Never. But if they leave and go and live somewhere else, they'll get cancer. But in that place, no one ever gets cancer. So then they'll go and look at that, analyze that, whatever it is. Then, you know, it's the latest thing, so everyone will take 10 times, 100 times what you need to. Then they find, oh, it's bad for you. Because you're taking that much. You know what I'm saying? Everything, all these superfoods, it was just somebody's ordinary food. Yes. And they eat this much of it. But now you got to put it in this and that and, you know, put it in everything. Put it in your salad, put it in your drink, you know, smear it all over your body, you know, like that. And so then the problem comes up is that, you know, then there's a problem. You know, it's just like too much air literally will kill you. Too much water will kill you. But without air and water, you'll die. But if you take too much of it, it will also kill you. So that's the whole point, is that, you know, a little bit of sun, you need some sun, but too much sun will get you also. You know? So that's the thing, is that it's all in this balance, and that it goes back to what's before. Tradition, this much works. This is how you use it. But people know, I want to use it however I want to eat. Go ahead. And then perfectly good things are thrown by the wayside because of this speculative method. Because they're not intelligent enough to figure out what's useful and what's not. Like that. It's either all or nothing. Like that. Right. So that's the doubting soul. They'll never, like, otherwise, how is it like that? Oh, that's terrible. And then move on to the next. Oh, you eat, you know, it's like you sit there and you sit there, you know, how you say, you sit there and you put some sugar in your drink. Oh, man, you're going to kill yourself. It's like, how many people died from one spoon of sugar? You know, it's like that. So, but the point is, no, this, like this. At the same time, as they're happy to live in the polluted city. You know? That's going to kill more people. You know, it's like Delhi. I think it was, I don't know about right now, but now with the COVID, but before the COVID, it was considered spending, I forget what it was, the normal average amount of time, 8 hours a day outside, you know, I mean, or 6 hours, something like that. It was equivalent to smoking 2 packs of cigarettes. So an Indian pack of cigarettes is 10 or 20?
10.
10. They're smaller. Yeah, in the West they're 20. They don't mess around with 10. Ooh, have you ever seen 10? No, they're always 20. Like that. So I'm not sure if they were taking it as 40 cigarettes or 20. But in any case, it's bad. You know, but people are happily living there. You know, and then worried about the sugar is going to kill you. No, the air is going to kill you. You know? So, you know, that's the thing, is they overemphasize. They can't balance. Like that. Here someone may ask, how can one understand the truth of the Supreme? We never read the...
66. I think that should go just before this one.
Srila Jiva Goswami. Okay. Lord Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates on this sutra in Anucheda 10 as follows. Anucheda 10 of?
Of Bhagavad Sandarbha.
Oh, okay. Okay. Lords Maya Shakti and Asurup Shakti are mutually contradictory. Thus their functions and their associates are mutually opposite. They have a common source, however. I offer my respects to the great Lord of eternal qualities, whose Shakti is the cause of agreement and disagreement, among those who make philosophies and then argue with others, and whose material energy continually bewilders them as to the real nature of Atma. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.4.31. Right. And then that's, I think that's, I kind of remember that that's quoted in the 11th canto in the Uddhava Gita. That this point is being brought up. The inconceivable nature of his Shaktis and their natural relation to the Lord is described in Vishnu Purana. Maitreya asks, how can Brahman be the agent of creation and destruction of the universe since he is without gunas? Immeasurable, pure, and without fault. Vishnu Purana 1.3.1. Parasara answers, O best of ascetics, the Shaktis of things in this world are in the realm of inconceivability. From these arise the powers of Brahman to create the universe. It is like the power of heat and fire. Vishnu Puran 1.3.2. Okay. To answer this question, the author of the sutra speaks the following words. Sutra 4. He is eternal and full of knowledge and bliss. He cannot be known by ordinary knowledge, for he is known only by devotional service. Footnote 7. In Anucheda 11, Srila Jiva Goswami cites the following verse in connection with this sutra. I surrender to the one infinite original Brahman, bliss alone, unchanging, the cause of the universe, within whom are always seen successively various energies such as vidya, having contradictory nature, Srimad Bhagavatam 4.9.16. Srila Prabhupada further elaborates as follows. People in general, who are under the influence of avidya shakti or maya, have neither knowledge nor devotion. But when a person who is a little advanced and therefore called a jnani advances even more, he is in the category of jnana misra bhakta, or a devotee whose love is mixed with empiric knowledge. When he is still further advanced, he can realize that the absolute truth is a person with multi-energies. An advanced devotee can understand the Lord in his creative energy. As soon as one accepts the creative energy of the Absolute Truth, the six opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are also understood. Devotees who are still further advanced in full knowledge can understand the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Only on that platform can one fully enjoy transcendental bliss. So this is going to cover five sutras. Right? The first section is only five sutras.
Ten.
Oh, it's five sections with ten each.
Ten each.
Okay, yes. So it could be that, okay.
And then Chitta Chitishvara is discussed in Paramatma Sandarbha. In that, Ishvara in the sense of Paramatma. So it exactly fits. Then the final conclusion, I think it fits both in Paramatma and Krishna Sandarbha. That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
When I go through the Krishna Sandarbha.
Yeah, nice. No, it's good, whatever. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternal and full of knowledge and bliss. He cannot be known by the material mind or described by material words. He is known only by devotional service, Shruti Shastra declares. The material mind cannot understand the Supreme. Material words cannot describe him. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11.12.21, the Supreme Lord himself declares, I am understood only by devotional service. In the Shruti Shastra, it is said, the Supreme is eternal and full of knowledge and bliss. Did I read the 11.12.21? I am understood only by devotional service. In the Shruti Shastra, it is said, the Supreme is eternal and full of knowledge and bliss. In the Brahma Samhita 5.1, it is said, Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin. For he is the prime cause of all causes. In the Vishnu Purana is the following explanation of the word Sat-Chit-Ananda. O Lord, you are the support of everything. The three attributes, Ladini, Sandini, and Samvit, exist in you as one spiritual energy. But the material modes which cause happiness, misery, and mixtures of the two. Do not exist in you, for you have no material qualities. The commentary on this verse follows. Oh, so this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur commenting on that Vishnu Purana verse.
Maybe Sridhar Swami's commentary is not quoting.
Okay. The verse means, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, in you, who are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, and the shelter of all, exists one inconceivable potency, which is manifest in three as Ladini, Sandini, and Samvit. That is the meaning. The question may be asked, O Lord, what are you like? The verse explains, O Lord, you are beyond the material modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. This means that material modes, which cause happiness, misery, and mixtures of the two, do not exist in the Lord. It is the potency of spiritual bliss that exists in the Lord. Thus it is said. In the Markandeya Purana, Shakti Mahatmya, first chapter, Chandi declares, no one should be surprised that the Supreme Personality of Godhead enjoys pastimes of yoga nidra, mystic sleep. After all, the Lord's illusory potency, Maya, bewilders the entire material world. Entering even the sages' hearts, Goddess Mahamaya bewilders the conditioned souls. By her, this entire material universe of moving and non-moving beings is created. When she is satisfied, she gives the blessings of liberation to the conditioned souls. She is the eternal transcendental knowledge that brings liberation. She is also the potency that binds the conditioned souls in the world of birth and death. She is the goddess of all goddesses. Right? So from her, this is practically she's doing that. What she's doing is a service for the Lord. Right? So if you only read up to this much and don't know more, then the Shaktas will say she's the Supreme. But then in the Shaiva, then it'll mention this, and then but she's under Shiva, and they'll stop there. So only the Vaishnavas understand it goes all the way back to Krishna.
So Maharaj, when one comes to the Vedantic perspective, then the rest, whatever Mimamsas and all, they all follow, fit in the place.
Yes, they all have their places where they fit. Because everything is there means that the process of upliftment is using intelligence so that you have a logical system of presentation to understand what's right and wrong. You know, I mean, what's that called? Ontology, no?
Yeah.
Oh, that's epistemology. Epistemology is yeah. Then understanding pratyaksha anuman.
Yes.
Yeah, that's epistemology. And that then you're going to present this in an ontology, right? So they're going to have that. So therefore, Gotama's position fits in there. So when you take nyaya, or logic, and you mix that with the philosophy, then you get what is that called? No. There's a name. Anvikshiki. Because you're logically applying, showing, you know, how to present the philosophy, which Srila Prabhupada mentions the acharyas always, you know, present according to the Panchanga Nyaya. Right? So they're always using that. The Adhikaranas and all that. They all use that. So then yeah, and then that you understand everything's atoms and all that. We know it goes back, so when you have the avyakta, that's what you're dealing with. So it fits in there, right? And then from there, then you make things in the mahatattva, and then there's the manifestation here. So for them, they're dealing with that part of the philosophy, right? And then Shankhya then will be, okay, what you make with that those atoms of the avyakta, so the primary creation, you know, that's based on the 24 elements. You know, so you're seeing that aspect of it, and then how that applies here. Mm-hmm. So they're taking, you know, all these different things. Then you're going to yoga, is that connecting with the Supreme. Because the other ones, it's just by intelligence you'll contact. Right? Because the super souls connect with the intelligence, so that way then they think just through intelligence. But the point is, if the mind doesn't accept, you don't really get very far. Mm-hmm. So then through yoga, then you're doing that. But, you see, it's a physical thing. So then, yes, that there's the meditation and that. So you see in Gita, the six chapters on meditation. But the mechanical parts, that's already easily covered in sadhana bhakti. You don't require that very difficult other process like that. And then karma, Imam says that, yes, we see everything connected with sacrifice and all that to the Lord and that, but we take it all the way up to bhakti, while they just stop that there. So the lifestyle and the different things that they do basically is the same thing we do. Right? Like that. But for bhakti. And then then Shankara, then the impersonal understanding of Vedanta is that they do the activities with detachment. So that's also good, that gets you liberation. But we do that to please Krishna. So you can see, is the most complete are the last two. But the other four then are components that are used. So yeah, so it's just so that's the nice thing is that you understand the Vaishnava Vedanta, it all fits. And then also we can see is where the other you know, schools of Vedanta philosophy fit into a Chintaveda Veda Tattva. You know, simultaneously one and different. So Shankara is the oneness, Madhva is the difference. Right? And then there's, you know, the difference of Dwait Advait that you're seeing from those two perspectives. That you can, you know, that both of them exist. Because one is, there's only this one, there's only that one. No, but they both exist. You know, and then there's purified oneness and special oneness. So but based on the mentality and, you know, we're the same qualities as the Lord. You know, we're like the drop in the ocean and like this. So the same attitude of service, you know, interacting in relationship. You know, so there's oneness. You know, like, let's say family members. There's a oneness because they act in that. So that would be the one. One of them, I don't know, is that purified or that's special?
Which kind of?
You know, that oneness in purpose. You have oneness in purpose, oneness in quality.
Oneness in quality is the special.
That's the special. That's the Vishishtadvait. Okay, so the Vishishtadvait must be the, you know, that we're all... You know, by that attitude, and then all of them, you know, all the devotees function together with the Lord, and it all works nicely because of that one mood, one attitude. So each one just focuses. Well, we say all of those. It means, you know, going through the different purposes, you'll see all of them come up. So that's a Chintaveda Veda Tattva. So everything's in that. So ultimately, the real philosophy of the Vedas is the Chintaveda Veda Tattva. It's the complete form.
So that purport which we read before, that also explains the steps of Prabhupada's purport.
Yes. Like that.
How the Brahman stage we cross, then Paramatma stage, and then we come to Bhagavan. In the footnote, Maharaj.
Yes. Yes, so the empiric knowledge in that. I say, the further advanced, how he has multi-energies and creative energy of the Lord, then the six opulences. Yeah, very far out. All six. Even in here, even though I think if this is only the first, it means it'll mention all of them, but at the same time the emphasis is on you know, the Lord and his energies and all these kind of things. So that must be, but then here, he's going to explain everything because then, the next set of sutras will describe the jiva.
Yes.
And then the next one, the material energy.
Material energy.
Okay, so this one will describe all three features. So, but he's taking it up as that when you understand how he creates everything. First, you have to understand he's transcendental, and then how he creates everything. He's all energies, but he's transcendental. When you get that, then you can understand Bhagavan.
First, we describe his position fully as his, like, the supreme.
Right.
And then when we describe about Jiva's qualities, then obviously then we can establish how he's subordinate. Then material energy, how it is functioning under subordinate.
Okay.
Then how three, all of them are functioning in the material creation, the purpose of it, together.
That will be in the third section or the fourth
section.
But that's then how bhakti works, sadhana.
Yeah. And then the fifth section is the final conclusion, then the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.